Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We'll read a little bit of Exodus chapter 12 and give it a little more context as we go along. Exodus chapter 12. Right now we'll focus on verses 12 and 13 of Exodus chapter 12. Let's give our careful attention to the reading and hearing of God's word. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you will keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. As a statute forever, you will keep this as a feast." I ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for what this word means and also what it means to us today. And we pray, God, you'll help us to better understand why it is that we celebrate this sacrament. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A friend of mine has a father-in-law who drives like a maniac. I mean, he tears around town in this red truck. He's speeding. He's going the wrong way down one-way streets. He runs red lights. He cuts off drivers. And yet it is 15 years of driving this way, he's never been stopped or even cautioned by the police. And the reason is this: this red truck this man is driving has a flashing blue light on top of it. It goes by another name. It's called a fire truck. He's part of the fire department, and because the truck represents what it represents, this man has certain privileges. Now, the same goes in our lives for passports, for PIN numbers, and even for club cards. All symbols of membership and privileges associated with the membership simply by having those cards. I have a brother who is in Great Britain right now visiting, and he did not get into Great Britain because he knows a lot about British history or because he knows anything at all about cricket. He got into Great Britain because he has a passport. ATMs give us cash because we enter our PIN number, not because we're experts at managing money. As a matter of fact, it might be a good idea for ATMs to ask questions about money management before you're allowed to enter your PIN number. But that's another situation altogether. And a club card to the club gets us in whether we have a lean, muscular body with 6% body fat, or if our physical shape more closely resembles that of Jabba the Hutt. Now, what matters with the red truck, the passport, the PIN number, and the club card is having the symbol of membership. You see, if I have the symbol, I get the privileges of belonging. And perhaps the most powerful example in the history of the Bible, of a symbol with a privilege attached to it, is something called the Passover. As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, let's consider what the Passover means and what the Passover means for us. First consideration is this: let's consider in the first place the historical context of the Passover. Now, you remember the story, the historical context of the Passover. The story, you know, Pharaoh refuses to, we've been studying this now for the last several weeks. Pharaoh refuses to set his slaves free, his slaves of the Israelites, the people of God. He refuses, despite his nation being carpet bombed with frogs and gnats and boils and six other plagues. Finally, God's mouthpiece, Moses, tells Pharaoh that the firstborn of every Egyptian family will be killed unless Pharaoh agrees to release the slaves. But as we know, Pharaoh is hard-hearted, hard-headed, stubborn. He refuses, and Yahweh sends an angel of death, the destroyer, through Egypt at night, bringing death, destruction, great grief upon every family within the geographical boundaries of Egypt. Every family except those protected from death by the extraordinary symbol of the grace of God. Now follow with me. Turn further down in Exodus 12 to verse 21. Let's read verses 21 through 24. And you'll begin to see how this ties in with what we're celebrating this morning. Exodus 12, 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourself according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out your door or out the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever." Notice here, The only thing that separated the Israelite families from death wasn't how well they behaved. It wasn't them taking a vow to forever follow the paths the Lord had laid out for them. It wasn't their ongoing obedience to the law of God. It wasn't their resume of religious ritual they followed on a weekly basis. That's not what the text is saying. Not at all. The only thing that separated the Israelites from their dead neighbors was the blood on the doorposts of their houses. And that blood made all the difference. And think about this. It wasn't even their blood. They didn't even have to supply the blood. All they have to do is apply the blood to the doorpost and over the door. Friends, as you come to the table this morning, think for a moment. Pause, consider what is being communicated in this story. You realize in a number of cases, truth be known, the Egyptians being killed may morally and ethically been better people than the Israelites being saved. Egypt probably had more honest people, more compassionate, many better spouses, better parents, better students, better citizens. But what you need to see is, regardless of their ongoing behavior, regardless of their ability to dot every I and cross every theological T, everyone who had blood on the doorpost was spared. The angel of the Lord did not even bother to knock, much less come in for a visit. And understand that the blood on the doorpost wasn't just another factor Yahweh took into consideration to consider, you know, who he'd destroy and who he'd rescue. Friends, the blood on the door is the only factor God considered. Like the flashing blue light on the fire engine, the passport, the PIN number, the club card. The blood on the door was the factor, the only factor that made the difference between life and death. And that is the historical context of the Passover. Let's move quickly now to the second consideration, and that's this. Let's consider now, having considered the historical context of the Passover, let's consider the Christian context of the Passover. Because what we have here in the Passover is an incredibly beautiful picture of grace. What you have, friends, this is how God operates. This is what God does. And this is also where the analogy of the flashing blue light, the passport, the PIN number, and the club card analogy breaks down, but in a good way. You see, if you drive a fire truck, possess a passport, have a PIN number, or carry a club card, you did something to merit what you have. But with the Passover, God Himself provides what is needed. And all His people have to do, all we have to do, is to apply to our lives what God has provided. And friends, this is where Christ comes in. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Listen to what it says. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, and hear these last two words, for us. In other words, our rescue from the penalty, power, and presence of sin, or as the old commentator Matthew Henry put it, our rescue from the eternal death of both body and soul in hell. Our rescue has been accomplished not by our performance, not by our religious deeds, not by our resume of righteousness, but by the death of someone else in our place. Friends, it's through our faith, our trust, our reliance in what God has provided for us that we are eternally saved, snatched from the jaws of destruction. As a matter of fact, when God the Father looks at the lives of people who trust totally and completely and absolutely in Christ, our Passover Lamb, you know what God does? He justifies us, not on the basis of what we've done, but on the basis of the obedience and the law-keeping zeal for God that Jesus has demonstrated both in His life and in His death. Friends, in other words, as Christians, we have got to conclude, as much of a crushing blow as this is to our ego, that the Christian faith is not about us. It's not about our law keeping. It's not about our religious activities. We contribute absolutely nothing to our salvation. It is about Jesus and what He has done for us. So the question for you and for me this morning that we have to really answer in our hearts is this: what are you relying on to save you from future destruction? You see, the answer to the what is a person. When it comes to being right with God, the only factor God takes into consideration is this. Listen, where is this person's trust? Put your name in there. Where is my trust? Is it in something I've done? Or is my trust in the Passover lamb that has been provided for me? Friends, there is only one place in the whole universe that you can support the full weight of your trust upon. And that place is the person of Jesus Christ. It is Christ's perfect life credited to our account that gives us the righteous record we must have for entry into heaven. It's Jesus' death in our place. His death symbolized by the elements of the Lord's Supper that deletes permanently. We have a bad record. It needs to be washed away. It needs to be deleted. The blood of Christ does that. And it's the blood of Jesus applied by faith to the doorpost of our lives that delivers our souls. And you know, one day when Jesus returns, we'll also deliver our bodies from destruction. Death of Christ is our passport into the new heavens and the new earth. So as you approach the table this morning, let me leave you with this question. Make sure you can answer it honestly. Here it is. Where is my trust? It's the most important question you can ask this morning. Where is my trust? And I hope the answer you give is this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, that is, whatever support I have built up, any support other than the gospel, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, as we take these symbols in our hands, help us to realize that they represent the object of our trust. And the only way that it can be passed over, that is our just deserts for our failure to love you above everything and everyone else, the only way that can happen is by applying the blood of Jesus to our lives. Lord, help us to realize this morning, the only thing that stands between us and destruction, the only firewall we have, is Jesus Christ. Lord, may we proclaim Jesus as our hope. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.